Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Heart Talk with Miss E. I am very excited, and sure, I say that probably every time I'm on this program, but today we're taking a slightly different twist. As those of you who have followed us know, for the past couple of years, this program has been dedicated to issues related to foster care and adoption because that is a topic that is very dear to my heart. However, one of my messages is to follow your heart. And in following my heart, I have actually revealed a new layer of myself that I'm very excited about. And I wanted to be able to include people whose life had been impacted by foster care who may have also been impacted by this topic, which we're talking about today, which is alopecia. September is national, and I think perhaps international, alopecia month. And so we are talking about the impact of alopecia in the lives of women. And I had a little song queued up, and I'm going to let you hear that for a minute. And we're going to move on, and I'll introduce our guests. But many are probably familiar with this song, and it's by India Arie. There were many numbers of songs I probably could have selected for today. Being a Stevie Wonder fanatic and Denise Williams, I wanted to do Free. But if this song will play correctly, work with me now. India Arie talks about, I am not my hair. Come on, girl, let's do this. She's not wanting to. She started talking. Okay, she's just sitting there with her mouth open. But that's all right. We'll catch her before we end this program. So, I have three wonderful guests, sisters, from the heart and from the head, that I am just really thrilled with. We've never met face-to-face, and actually have never spoken voice-to-voice, but today we're going to speak. And we have, I don't even have my list in front of me, but we have Ms. Sonia Renee Taylor, who's the founder of the Body is Not an Apology, and I'm going to tell you how she influenced me to where I am operating from today. We also have Ms. Sandra Gibson DeBose, or DeBose Gibson, who's the author of My Crown and Glory, and she is the winner of the 2011 Mrs. Black Carolina pageant. And our third guest is someone that I have had the opportunity of meeting over the past couple of months on the internet through Alopecia World. She is the founder of Sisters Living with Alopecia. And she has another project that I'm excited to be a part of that we'll share with you at the end of the program. So, ladies, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
I'm here.
Okay, is everyone ready?
Yeah.
Good to go.
Yeah.
Okay, real good. And feel free to jump in anytime, but I'm going to start off with Ms. Sonia Renee Taylor. Ms. Sonia, I don't know if you recall receiving an email from me probably about 6 months ago. I'd seen you on a PBS program that was on Black History. And
yes,
I was just totally blown away. And I knew that was divine intervention because it was at that time that I was going back and forth about whether I should shave my head or not, what I wanted to do, you know, about the wigs and the headscarves. And I just happened to be flipping through the channels and came to you on stage, this beautiful, full-figured African-American woman whose hair was whooped. And she started to talk. But somehow, as I listened to you tell the story about that little girl on the school bus, and especially when you got to the part about taking the dog for a walk and you're putting your wig on, I just cracked up because that was me all over. And I had the intuition then to click record. And I believe that was probably the most freeing moment in my adult life.
Wow.
And I think I wrote you a letter and said, I felt like when you got to the part and you said, until now, and you took that wig off and flung it, and I saw this beautiful shaven head, I said, I felt like I had been, as they say in the church, I felt like I had been hit by the Holy Ghost. I was delivered. So I want to thank you for the work that you do, and not only in this area, but just everything that I've seen you do. I had the opportunity, again, walking to the living room, flipping the channel, and because I have ADD, so I don't stay on anything too long. And there I'm is in flaw. The guy said, ladies and gentlemen, Miss Sonia Renee, and I screamed like Stevie Wonder had walked in the room. And anybody who knows me know that I'm a Stevie Wonder fanatic. Again, I clicked the record button. So thank you so much for receiving this invitation, because you, oh my gosh, you don't know what you've done for me, and I hope to be able to do the same for others. So I guess I'll be quiet and let you talk for a minute.
First of all, just thank you so much. I think I am always floored by what I call those God moments, those moments where we don't realize that our lives are intersecting with other people's lives in really miraculous and beautiful ways. And so I'm grateful to have had this God moment with you. And actually, I don't know anybody else who has, in two separate occasions, accidentally stumbled upon me on television. I've never done it. So it's particularly interesting and cool. But I'm really excited to be on your show today and talking about this issue, because it's one that definitely is shrouded in so much stigma and so much secrecy and shame, and it's been quite a journey for me coming out of that secrecy and shame, even to just being willing to use the word alopecia in relationship to myself, has been its own unique journey. And so I'm grateful for this platform and for the advocacy that you're doing, and for continuing to bring awareness around the issue so that we can live our most full, shame-free lives. So thank you for that.
Indeed. And you took it even a step further. You referred me to your website, and then I started looking at your YouTube videos, and I was just really touched by the ceremony you did of the cutting of your hair and doing that whole process. It brought a certain peace and support, and I realized at that point one of the things that I was missing, in addition to having hidden it, was the support system.
Yes.
How you beautifully, you know, did that. And then, of course, I went through the whole process where you're sitting at the kitchen table and said, okay, I'm going out for the first time today. And
right,
that's when you were,
right.
Even doing things. I'm going to sleep, but I need to at least say something. And that was just keeping it real. And that's what I love, because we have so many things that we cover up with. And even still, you know, the good days. And I love on your blog, on your Facebook site, where you have the, what is it, Bad Picture Monday?
Bad Picture Monday, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I took a quote that someone had written on there, and I don't know what I did with it, but it says that if you look at this picture and you see it as a Bad Monday, it shows the reason why we need to have this venue right here, this format, because there is no bad, because someone who looks at you may see beauty that you may not even recognize in yourself.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. I think it's so much about learning how to view ourselves. Someone said that life isn't about seeing in hindsight, it's about seeing in kind sight. And so it's really, Bad Picture Monday is about having the opportunity to, one, to sort of disconnect from that hyper image consciousness that we all, you know, oh my gosh, I have to be perfect, every hair has to be in place, every lash has to be, you know, extended before anybody is allowed to gaze upon my countenance. And then there's also that oftentimes what we perceive as a flaw is absolutely just our own warped perception. Sometimes the best thing that we can do, sometimes the worst thing that we can do is look at ourselves through others' eyes, but sometimes the best thing we can do also is to look at ourselves through others' eyes. And so Bad Picture Monday is an opportunity to see yourself differently and to choose to exercise the muscle of radically loving yourself, regardless of what the image before you is. So.
I love that. And it is very difficult. It is very difficult. Even when you may be perceived by others as attractive. But I think, as they say, you know, the enemy is really the enemy within us, you know, the enemy in me. And just to go back and forth with that all the time, and then to add all that issue with the hair, someone mentioned on Alopecia World, you know, do you have some days that you look at yourself and you just don't feel attractive? I said, I had those days when I had hair.
Absolutely. 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 It's, there is no static self-image, right? Like our self-perception is always in flux and always in relationship to the world. And so nobody feels great all the time. The key is, like, can I feel great most of the time? And can I remind myself when those voices come up that say that I'm not beautiful, that that's just a story and that that's not truth. It's not real. And so I can hear it and I can say, okay, there's that voice. And then I can operate knowing that that's not truth.
Exactly. So one of the things I wanted to ask you to do was to share some moments of spoken word. And I don't know if even the story that you shared on that first program I saw with you, but it's about the little girl Sonia and being brought up. Is it possible that you could share that with us in this format?
I don't know if I could. One, it's a pretty long piece. It runs actually about 15 minutes, and I don't think it's that much time. It's much more theater than it is that. But what I would love to share is sort of the poem that started the movement, The Body is Not an Apology, which is really just what I consider sort of a testimony to the miraculous nature of our bodies and all the ways that they show up, including our gorgeous bald heads. And so this piece is called The Body is Not an Apology.
Okay.
The body is not an apology. Let it not be forget-me-not fixed to mattress when night threatens to leave the room empty as the belly of a crow. The body is not an apology. Do not present it as a disassembled rifle when they have yet to prove themselves more than common intruder. The body is not an apology. Let it not be common as oil, ash, or toilets. Let it not be small as gravel stain or teeth. Let it not be mountain when it is sand. Let it not be ocean when it is grass. Let it not be shaken, flattened, or raised in contrition. The body is not an apology. Do not present it as communion, confession. Do not ask for the body to be pardoned as criminal. The body is not a crime, is not a gun, is not a spill to be contained, is not a lost set of keys or wrong number dialed. It is not the orange burst of blood to shame white dresses. The body is not an apology. It is not a broken thing to be mended, be tossed. It is not a lost set of keys, a wrong number dialed. It is not the orange burst of blood to shame white dresses. The body is not an apology. Do not present it as a disassembled rifle. The body is not an apology. It is not the unintended granule of bone beneath will. The body is not kill, is not unkempt car, is not a forgotten appointment. Do not speak it vulgar. The body is not an apology. It is not a father's backhand. It's not mother's dinner late again, wrecked jaw, howl. It's not the drunken sorcery of contorting steel, round tree. The body is not calamity. The body is not a math test. The body is not a wrong answer. The body is not a failed class. You are not failing. The body is not an apology. It is not a hole to be mended, be yanked out. It's not a broken thing to be tossed. The body is not prison, is not sentence to be served, is not pavement, is not prayer. Do not give the body as gift, only receive it as such. The body is not to be prayed for, is to be prayed to. So, for the evermore tortile 10th grade nose, hallelujah. For the shower song throat that crackles like a grandfather's Victrola, hallelujah. For the spine that never healed, for the lambent heart that didn't either, hallelujah. For the sloping pulp of back, hip, belly, hosanna. For the errant hairs that rove the head like a pack of misplaced wolves, hosanna. For the parts we have desired to excise, blessed be the cancer, the palsy, the womb that opens like a trap door. Praise the body in its blackjack magic, even in this, for the razor wire mouth, for the sweet God ribbon within it, praise, for the mistake that never was, praise, for the bend, twist,
fall and rise again, fall and rise again for the raising like an obstinate Christ, for the salvation of a body that bends like a baptismal bowl, for those who will worship at the lip of this sanctuary. Praise the body, for the body is not an apology. The body is deity. The body is God. The body is God, the only righteous love that will never need repent.
Okay.
Woo!
Wow.
Whoa. I've tried to sit down.
I only hope it was good. Beautiful. That was beautiful. That was powerful, yes.
Body is not an apology. I mean, and that covers so many aspects. We're just talking about prayer today, but you talk about, you know, the deformities. We talk about the illnesses. We talk about all of the things. And one of the things that I'm learning in this is that there is glory and purpose in it all. And people are telling me that they see a different freedom in me now, different energy. And I've always been, you know, sort of hyper about things that I'm passionate about. But I feel like this is a new birth coming forth. And so says about realizing the glory in it. And I'm going to transition right on over, and I'm going to come back to you, Sonia. Thank you. I'm going to transition right on over to Miss Sandra, who is the author of My Crown and Glory. And I laughed when I saw the title of your book, because years ago, I actually went to a hairdresser, and the name of her shop was called Crown and Glory. And I told her, I said, well, can I have my glory even though my crown is going?
Yes.
And I wanted to use that title for so long. So that's why I named that, the title of this program. But I looked at your book cover, actually, while I was Googling. I found Miss Sandra, and I love that. And so when we're talking about, you know, anything that's glorious, it's not an apology. We know that it's of God. And a lady walked up to me in a restaurant recently, and she said, I just have to tell you just how beautiful you look. She said, she asked me, you know, when I share why. She didn't know if it was just style. And when I told her alopecia, she said, well, you know what? God gave you the perfect head. He knew what he was going to do with you when he brought you to the world. And I said, well, hello now.
Right.
So Ms. Sandra Gibson DeBose. Am I saying it correctly?
It's Sandra DeBose Gibson.
Okay, Sandra DeVoe Gibson, welcome. So tell us about your book and your journey and just about this whole experience for you.
Yeah, first of all, I just want to thank you for having me be a guest on your show today. I am absolutely honored. Always so exciting to be around other women who share the same common experience, because it's such a deep, deep experience that sometimes other women, you just really need to connect yourself with other women who really knows what it feels like to have this type of experience, and what it also does for us to be able to shift our perspective and come into a whole new level of awareness of who we are and our beauty. And so I'm so excited and honored to be in your presence. And Sonia, you are just thebomb.com. I'm just like, hurry up and stop talking so I can tweet about you, because I just want to share, you know, that poem is amazing, and I had the opportunity to go on your website. I think you are fantastic, and Stacey, I can't wait to hear from you as well. So first of all, just give an honor to all of you ladies for being in your presence today. And my journey with alopecia, of course, started when I was 25, and I'm 38 now, so it's been quite a while, you know, that I've been dealing with this. But you know, I wrote My Crown and Glory because one of the things that I've learned in my experience with hair loss is that it's really, you know, when I first started to come out, my intention was that I wanted to advocate, I wanted to bring awareness and, you know, teach other people about this condition, because I never even heard of alopecia until I developed that very first, you know, dime-sized spot and went to the dermatologist. And then he says, you have this incurable disease. It's like, what? You know, when did they come up with this? I've never heard of such a thing. You know, and that's pretty devastating when you've never even heard of it, you know. And so there was a big push for me to say, I need to take the lead in my own way of bringing awareness and making sure that other people know that this thing even exists. And but when I went out, I started to talk about alopecia, and I found that more people were, it was not just people with alopecia that were interested in the story, but it was just women in general, people that were having self-esteem issues in general that could resonate with what it felt like to have that piece of yourself, your identity, you know, missing. And so then I realized that it was really broader. It was an issue about self-esteem, because whether, you know, the issue is about hair, whether it's for a woman going through breast cancer and she has to have a mastectomy, whatever you have identified yourself as and made yourself believe that this is how you identify your own femininity or sensuality or what have you, that's what we need to really begin to fix. Get underneath that and really talk about the issue of self-esteem and look at how do we define ourselves, you know, what makes us beautiful. And if we think that any of those things are totally and completely predicated on what's happening on our physical level, then that's something that we all have to do that shift and really get back to center and get back to the reality and understanding that we are more than our hair and our skin and all of those things, and no matter what those outside challenges may be, that we still are 100% intact because the essence of who we are is who we are inside. And that was the whole impetus for me to really write this book. And it's far-reaching. It's not about hair, as the title says. It's really about the essence of self-esteem, the essence of self-love, and really getting a clear understanding of who we are, our value, so that we can move past those challenges that we all may have at some time in our lives, whether it's alopecia or whatever it is, whether it's your weight. There are things that will happen, and if you don't know who you are, if you don't know who you are, you're going to be stuck. So, you know, it's not just for women with hair loss. It's for people in general that we need to get clear. You need to know who you are.
Amen. I'm loving it. I love it. Will you read us an excerpt from your book?
Oh, I would love to. I would love to. And this particular excerpt, you know, the book is it's my crowning glory. It's not about the hair, but it's six fundamental principles to heal emotional wounds and build healthy self-esteem. And so when I look at the topic of self-esteem, a lot of times, especially as women, we carry a lot of emotional baggage. You know how like Erica Badu sings about bag lady, you know? And we have these issues and things that we've been through in life. And, you know, there are reasons that we think about ourselves the way we think or feel about ourselves the way that we feel, and sometimes we are carrying around some stinking thinking of things that may have happened in our childhood or what have you that are hindering us from really being able to see ourselves clearly and appreciate our own worth. And so that's some of the things that I'm tackling in this book, like forgiveness and really defining success for yourself and healing the inner child. Those are the type of topics I'm talking about. But in this particular chapter that I want to read for you, this one is called Owning Your Power. And so it's really about the power that we all possess, in spite of what the circumstance is, to change our experience. We create our experiences, of course, by our thoughts. And so if we can, as all of us on this line have done, you know, shifted our experience from at one point being depressed or feeling some type of way or having low self-esteem, you know, from having the experience of having alopecia to now us getting to a place of feeling liberated, feeling comfortable in our skin, you know, looking in the mirror and loving who we are and feeling bold and brave enough to do that, the essence of that is really a mind shift. It was and for each of us, the day is different, but at some point in our journey, we woke up and made a decision. As simple as that, our circumstances didn't change. We were still bald, but we decided on that day that enough was enough. Mm-hmm. And we decided that we were going to own our power to create a very different experience. Okay, today I'm done with being bald and feeling some type of way about it. Today I'm going to move in the power that I possess, and I'm going to be okay with it. And so this is this excerpt is really the moment for me where, you know, in the stages of, for me, of having alopecia areata, when it was phasing then to alopecia universalis, I had I had my hair locked at that time, and so I would say probably 50% of my hair was gone. But I was still holding on to that other 50%. I was just well, maybe the other 50% will decide to start growing in tomorrow. So, you know, I just, you know, I just can't. It's like you're holding on. You know what I mean? You're holding on. And so it was a decision where I had to say, okay, this 50% is not a cool style. We just need to let it go. Forget it. You know, just. It was really that process of letting the hair go. Shave it off, baby. It's okay. Because if it's going to grow back, you need to, it all needs to grow out at the same time anyway. So cut it out. Get over yourself. So this is that moment. So it says, I made the decision to cut the rest of my hair off instead of waiting for it to fall out. My husband offered to do it for me, but I really wanted to do it myself. It felt like a rite of passage, and it held a deep symbolic meaning for me. It was a personal threshold that I crossed and my initiation into the bald club of happy dancing people who were truly free. I was a warrior, and I felt as though after all I had already been through in my life, if I could do this, I could do anything. My mother-in-law lived downstairs from us in the two-family house we resided in. She lives with the autoimmune disease scleroderma. It causes a hardening of the skin, and in some cases, it impacts the internal organs as well. Her illness started when she was in her childbearing years, so she understood personally how it felt as a woman to endure changes to your body that are caused by disease. It was a great support for me to see how well she managed her condition. She never had public pity parties, and you never heard her complain or give up the fight. The day I cut off my hair, my husband was at work, and my oldest daughter was in school. I was home with the baby, so I asked her to come upstairs and sit with me while I did the deed. I was ready to take my freedom back, but I needed some theme music to set it off. I reached for Whitney Houston's version of I'm Every Woman, and I turned the volume up high. I felt like a boxer walking into the arena with an entourage and some theme music to get me pumped up. I was dancing around the living room, preparing my mind for the sticking moves I was about to put on this hair loss situation. Alopecia was going down, and I was not afraid of my opponent. I was done crying, and as Whitney sang, I was every woman, and all I needed to complete this task was in me. I guess it looked like I was doing a war dance. I was reaching deep into my soul, calling on the strength of my ancestors to take the chains from around my mind, my heart, and my life with every swish of my hips. My mother-in-law felt the whole dramatic scene to be comical. She sat there holding me leisure, looking at me curiously as if her chicken was in the oven and she wanted to hurry up so she can get back to it. Is all of that really necessary? She asked as she laughed at me laughing. Yes, I said, it is necessary. I felt like Seeley fixing the shades, mister, in the color purple. I could hear the drums and my people crying out in our tribal language. All of this was in my head, of course, but the moment called for a little dramatic fun to take the edge off. I took to the bathroom mirror with my husband's clippers. My mother-in-law and Elijah stood in the doorway watching with eager anticipation of the end result. From the front of my head to the back, I shaved off the remaining locks, taking pieces of myself with each stroke back until the hair was no more. I looked in the mirror at the finished product and saw my eyes, big and bright. I saw my smile, wide and beautiful. I saw my head, small but perfectly round. I felt different. A weight had been lifted, and I knew that victory was mine. Yes. I still had a crown of glory, even with no hair at all. I had uncovered my crown of virtue, self-respect, power, and inner beauty, and that could never fall into a sink or be swept away with a broom.
Hello.
I won the battle that day, and with a little makeup and some earrings, my victory looked as cute as can be. It was official. I was a member of the Happy Dancing Bald Club.
Oh, yes.
Oh, I love it. Oh, my gosh. I love it.
Okay,
Thank you so much.
This is going to be the members here locally. I'm going to buy, I guess, 15 books. That's going to be their gift for Christmas. Got to get those.
Thank you,
Sandra, for sharing that.
And you are so welcome. I'm so excited about it. It's on Amazon.com right now, and it's available also as an ebook. So please do. And like I said, that's just a story about That's just a story about when I lost my hair. But there's so this is a story. I talk about my father, him passing away of lupus.
Mm.
It's so, so deep. I talk about childhood molestation. I talk about abusive relationship as a teen that I went through. I mean, I really put all my business in the street, and I did it because when we talk about self-esteem, we need to go back. We need to really heal so that we can really move forward. Iyanla VanZant has a quote, and I'll end with this, and she says, until you heal the wounds of your past, they will continue to bleed into your future.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And that is the bottom line. We're talking about self-esteem no matter what you're going through. Until you really fix what's going on inside and underneath it all, you really can't get free. You really can't move into the fullness of the power that we possess until you deal with your skeletons. And that's what this book, in the most funnest, most exciting and engaging way that I could write it, that's what this book is going to allow people to do. And there's exercises in there. It's a workbook that allows you to really journal through and help you, you know, work through those emotions. And I also do personal coaching. So it's really, this is a movement about liberation for everyone, whether you have hair or not. This is the time for freedom. This is our time.
Wow. Thank you for just, as I say, walking in your calling. And, you know, and your statement about, you know, the wounds, because as a speaker myself, my message is follow your heart. And then I add it, but heal it first. And in my work with adult women, dealing with village and working with our young people, one of the things that I became aware of is that our children's issues aren't as much the problem as those of us adults. And so when we're stumbling over our own unresolved issues in our wounds, they pour out into our children, and they just act out what they're experiencing through us anyway. And so I realized I needed to take a step back. And in order to do that, I needed to reveal another layer of myself. And you're so right.
Yeah.
I just so free. And there's, I don't know if it was Jackie or the young lady who goes by the name of Moonflower on Alopecia World. She talked about dancing in the mirror and something that her husband had made the comment. And I said, you know what? We should have an event and call it Dancing in the Mirror, because there is a freeing and to be able to behold yourself and celebrate yourself. So I just got this big idea, but I think I'm talking to the right people to implement big idea. So I will be connecting with you after this call, because this is just too powerful.
Yes.
Oh,
and we all
have
to stay together, and it takes a village. So there is no one way.
Absolutely.
There's an audience that will connect with each one of us in our own special way. So it's important, and that's why I'm so glad that we are making this connection today, because the world needs it all over, so the work is plentiful.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing about it is that we all, everyone has acknowledged those dark days. And so when you make that contrast from the darkness to the light and the freedom, people need to know we didn't just start off like this. You know, that is a process. It is a process, but it's possible for everyone. It's possible. It's just we have to do the work. So, thank you again. I will come back. I see Sonia, we lost you for a couple of times, but you're back with us.
I'm back.
Okay, so don't go anywhere.
I'm all plugged in.
I noticed all of our guests, first names start with S today. So we have Sonia, we have Sandra, and now we have Sister Stacy. Are you there?
I'm here. I'm just like a little minnow in the monster sharks. Why not say sharks, but the dolphins, because I'm just the beginning. So but you guys have really inspired me, and I've knew about Sandra. I followed Sandra for a while, and she's my hero now. And Sonia now is, but I didn't know about her, and she's good poetry. Oh, I love poetry. I'm a little poet myself, but I'm not as big as you guys. But I'm trying to do anything to make Alopecia awareness more known. Again, I just started this foundation back in April. I lost my hair. I found out about alopecia when I was 26, and I went to a dermatologist who gave me a pamphlet and told me I had alopecia, and that was it, you know, pretty much. He gave me a topical, didn't give me really any, you know, any information about it. And the pamphlet that he gave me, and I have scarring alopecia, so, but, you know, at the time, I didn't know that there was different forms of alopecia. So when I got that that pamphlet, I'm thinking that I'm going to lose my eyebrows, my eyelashes, I'm going to lose everything, you know, because he did not really educate me on what alopecia was. And basically, there was no support system here, and I felt like I was completely alone, and it wasn't until I, you know, started, you know, searching and going on in the internet and finding out what alopecia was and educating myself. And at that time, when my hair really started going away, I started losing my hair, I was going through a divorce. So at that time, I became extremely depressed, and I just pretty much just decided that I didn't want to be among, you know, everybody else or whatever. Socially, I declined. I just didn't want to do anything. I just had to self-pity. And like Sandra, I had long hair, but I had this big ball, big bozo ball spot in my head, you know, like really huge. And I just couldn't let the rest of my hair go, you know. But I'm braiding the little hair that I had or whatever, hiding behind wigs. And one day I just had an epiphany. I was just like, I'm not doing this anymore. And at this time, it's like I was working at a car dealership. I was dealing with the public a lot. And I decided I was going to shave my hair. And I was just done. My brother shaved it for me. And I couldn't believe in myself. Even when he was doing this, he said, you sure you really want to do this? I said, yes. And I had made a video right before that, and I was kind of crying about it. I was like, I'm going to let my hair go. And I was crying. I was like, do I? And I was kind of... I said, I relate that to being in a horrible marriage. Like, you're married and you've been with each other for so long, but it's not working. Ooh. You don't want to let it go because you're so used to having it. And I was like, that was a part of me. That was a part of me for 40-plus years. I'm like, and I'm letting my hair go. But when I let it go, it was like I could not believe how powerful I felt. And I was a little nervous about going out in public, but I was so amazed by how many people came up to me, giving me compliments. Yeah. Of course, they thought I had cancer. And I told him no, and I explained what alopecia was. And then that's when I decided, you know what, I need to educate people about alopecia. And and thus, that's how Sisters Living with Alopecia began. And I wanted everybody to know it wasn't just black women connecting. It was for sisters, all women, because men lose their hair, and it's a fad. It's a fashion statement. It's okay, but when a woman loses her hair, she's got cancer or something's wrong with her, or she's gay or she's bush or something like that. But what am I in that educated people what alopecia was, and I, with my own little money, going out, getting, you know, promoting fundraisers, trying to just get out and let Arkansas, first of all, know about it, but then people, and not to put Arkansas down because it is a small, and I just started this, so I know I have a long way to go, but I've been able to network with Miss E as well as other ladies in alopecia world, and they, when they respond to me and let me know that I'm doing a great thing, that really encouraged me. And now, just recently, I've gotten more input from people in Arkansas. And I knew it was ladies that had alopecia, and we've been talking now. We have a teleconference number where they can call in and we can just support each other over the phone. But again, you guys, Ms. Sandra, Ms. Sonia, you guys are definitely my role models. And maybe this time next year I'll be a little bit more comfortable and not be as nervous talking, and I'll be able to, again, promote other women and encourage and empower other women as well. And right now we're working on a calendar that Ms. E, with our gorgeous self, happens to be one of the models, I say. And what we're doing is we're showing everybody that women bald are beautiful and confident and powerful and have great jobs. And this can be you as well. And don't feel ashamed, and don't, you know, feel that you're not the same person you were before your hair. As a matter of fact, if you embrace the baldness, you will find out how powerful you really are.
Yeah,
absolutely. So that's what we're doing now, and the calendars will be ready. Tentatively, we're hoping they'll be ready the first week of November. And like again, Ms. E, she's one of the models, and she's gorgeous. If you guys haven't seen her or met her or seen her at all, she's gorgeous. And I love her on Alopecia World because the topics that she talks about, are like the lupus, I think it was, that, you remember that? I think it was lupus. Absolutely. And the lady in one of my local groups, I told her about Alopecia World. She joined there, and she's been following you now on I think Ms. E Speaks blog, so she's following you now. So wonderful. You're very sorry, Dora.
I love it. And you know, you say, you know, you're a little fish, but we're all big fish. We just haven't grown into ourselves yet. It's a process.
Mm-hmm.
And you're where you're supposed to be. That's what we do. We nurture and bring out all of the greatness that's within one another. And I don't know, for me, you know, everyone said, well, you're so outgoing anyway, but I think probably just because of the nature of the work that I do, I've always seen myself as, you know, really needing to help people, but I need to take care of me. And so just having only done this 2 months ago, I am really shocked at how far I've come in such a short period of time. But I have to say, it's not about me. It's about those of you who were already in place to help me to get through that process. And I'm just as amazed about it as anyone, but excited. And so there is a power. But when we talk about the essence of who we are, I think it really comes down to, one, looking at the bigger picture. You know, when we say, I am not my hair, or, you know, I'm a soul, you know, in this body, we're really talking about the true essence, you know, the real essence of who we really are, and our purpose here on earth. And I find that the easiest part for me has been knowing that I'm not just in a position of overcoming myself. I'm in a position of servitude. I'm going through this so I can serve to help someone else share their way in. And the week after I did my shave, the eve of 4th of July, I said, this is my independence. This is my freeing. And I went to the barber college and said, put the razor to it. And still, like, I think about 2 weeks, because that's when I really became involved with alopecia world, that I didn't go out, you know, uncovered for the first week. And at the end of the second week, I received a phone call. I'm a marriage, family, child therapist. I received a referral for a young lady who one of her issues just happened to have been hair loss.
Oh,
and
wow.
I got it. I just looked up. I said, thank you, Lord. Mm-hmm. You know, because he shows us, if we just step forward, there's so much that he has for us to do. Or that, you know, the way that you express your spirituality, the way that God, the way that he, the way that the Lord, the way that the universe, whichever way that you express that, if we are in touch with that, it makes all of that other stuff seem minor, you know?
Absolutely.
So I am so, so grateful. One of the questions that I have is, most people want to know, like, I crack up when people say, I like your hair. And it's sort of, you know, we both kind of laugh because there's no hair there. But what is your preference when people are referring to your baldness? And I have my own preference, but I'm interested in hearing what you ladies have to say about that.
I get a lot of people who either say, you have a beautiful head, sis. So I get that. And I get, girl, I'm digging the cut. Which, you know, like, it's general, we know that. So there's not, but I also get a lot of, you know, I like your, or I like your haircut.
Okay. What about
This is Sandra. I don't have a preference. I always think it's so interesting to see what comes out of people, you know, and it's different. And I have to tell you, and I just want to put this in as a sidebar, when it comes to being bald as a woman and dealing with men, okay, and that's mm-hmm. been a very interesting thing because, of course, as a woman, our biggest fear is that, is a man going to find me attractive? Mm-hmm. What are they going to think or what have you? And I have to tell you that the men have been amazing because they love the confidence. And I've learned
Absolutely.
That real what men find attractive is a confident woman.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's like a real man, not the superficial man that's like, oh, you need to look like a Barbie doll or what have you, because that's not the kind of man we would want anyway. But real men, really, they don't care about all of that stuff that we fuss over. If you walk with confidence, that's the thing. And I've had so many men that will just say, sis, your confidence, I just love you. You are beautiful because of your confidence. And so for me, I don't have a preference. You know, some women say, I love your hair, and we both just kind of laugh like, okay, thank you. I don't have it. You know what I mean? But it is just, I just love how other people respond to it, because that was part of my healing. As you talked about, this is new for you, and when you go out, you didn't know what to expect. And what made it stronger for me is that when I did make that step and I did go outside, it was the affirmations that I got from everybody around me. It was the love that I felt, the acceptance and the support that made that an easier journey for me. So I want to encourage any woman who's on the cuff, who's listening, who's on the edge of their seat in this conversation, like, oh, my God, what, you know, they better stop talking. I'm going to get my clippers and start cutting my hair. You know what I'm saying? I want to encourage you, do it, because the beauty is that once you do and when you step over to that other side, you have no idea that all of the love that the universe, God, like you said, however you want to phrase that, is waiting for you on the other side, and it's just going to confirm for you that you did the exact right thing and that it was so much bigger than you, and so many other people needed you to do it because they needed to see your light shine that would inspire them to let their light shine. So that's what I have to say about that.
Exactly. Miss Sonia.
Yes.
Well, do you have a preference in how you refer to your baldness or other people?
Not really. You know, I think I have the same experience of sort of people just chuckling when someone says, you know, I like your hair, and I laugh, or lack thereof. But, you know, really, I want to totally co-sign what Sandra said, which is that that it really is how you step into the world, and that really the way that I go into the world feeling and believing and standing in about myself is reflected back to me. And that's reflected back to me whether I'm feeling confident and beautiful and divine and powerful, or if I'm feeling insecure and small and shamed and fearful. Whatever it is that I am being is what I will see. So the goal is to see myself as beautiful and powerful and then let the world reflect that back to me.
This is Stacey. I'm a very tall lady, and I'm like 5'11", and I love eyeshadows. So I'm an eyeshadow queen. I love eyeshadows. And I get, you know, and since I've got my hair, you know, decided to say goodbye to the rest of the little hair that was left on my head, I get a lot of compliments on, oh, my gosh, your eyes are beautiful. And then they look at my head and say, oh, my God, you got such a beautiful head. And I'm like, well, thank you. You know, so I get that a lot. You know, you got a beautiful head. I'm like, well, thank you, you know, but I could never do that, you know. And I let them know it wasn't by choice. This is something that happened to me. And that's how I get into telling them what alopecia is or whatever. But, I love, you know, and I get the attention, especially, like, with men. And the thing of it is I get more compliments with Caucasian men. I mean, they're stopping the middle. Oh, my God, you're just gorgeous. You're beautiful. Oh, my God, I think that's just hot, and I love the way you walk. And, you know, and I used to model a little bit, so, I got to walk anyway, you know. And it's just I love the fact that I can stop, you know, demand attention in a room, but now it's without hair. You know, I'm talking about, like, yes, you know.
Yeah.
And I love that, but I love the fact that I can look at a woman and they're just like, and it's like, oh, my God, you're so gorgeous. I wish I could have that. I wish I could do that. I wish I could have that confidence.
Yeah.
I mean, love yourself first.
Mm-hmm.
You know, accept who you are, accept it. And in fact, guys, was talking about, I'm not a poet by no means, but I do write a little poetry. And I wrote a poem that actually is an excerpt of my poem mixed up with two of my members, and we kind of got together, and I borrowed pieces of their poetry and added it to mine. If you don't mind, this is what I read at my last meeting with the girls. I said, so many has asked, why did you cut your hair? And let me dispel the rumors, assumptions, conversations, while I make an honest attempt to educate those who may question my liberation and freedom by bringing awareness about alopecia. I didn't cut my hair, yet I chose to embrace my beauty as God has made me. While hair is an enhancement, it is no longer a necessity to me, as God chose to grant me a perfect shape, beautiful bald head. I don't have cancer, and never did I. Please don't allow your curiosity to turn to the portrayal of utter ignorance. Now, if you have an issue with me choosing to wear my hair bald, by all means, come to me so I can inform you of the issues I may have with your appearance. Fair enough. Now, my God stated that I was wonderfully and fearfully made. Perhaps you should question him if you have a problem with my appearance. I'm a transformer. You can't conform me to your world. To my beautiful sisters that are affected with alopecia, having alopecia is not, and I repeat, it is not a setback yet. It is a setup to embrace you, Y-O-U, in the natural way. Hair is an accessory, not a necessity. You were so beautiful that your hair was so jealous that it decided to leave. You see, I was in a place besides the whimsical cocoon about beauty. I conformed by buying hair that wasn't mine, taken from heads from people in foreign lands, convinced that their contributions would be paid by God. The long tresses that I wore despite the guilt, agonizing headaches from it being sewn in, I looked in the mirror, disgusted by my hypocrisy. Now, after all, I'll tell people to be true to yourself and be true. And how was I not being true to myself? Living with this internal struggle is irritating. 16 years back and forth, my troubled emotions, no more hypocrisy for me. Besides, when did I start to care about what anyone else thought? In the barber chair, I sat down and I said, down to the skin, my beauty is not from within. It starts from within. I'm sorry, my beauty is not from outside. It starts from within. The deed is done. My hair looks like Kojak. I am now free and would never look back. I once allowed alopecia to stop me from living my life. Another obstacle that is overcome. No more self-pity or strife. This hair comes with responsibility. Please try not to be jealous because it was too perfect to have hair on it. I didn't choose baldness. Baldness thought I was beautiful enough to be chosen. I stand tall and want you to hear me very loud and proud. Standing before you, I am bald and I'm proud. Thank you. And that's something that I took an excerpt. This my one of my members, Renee Spells. That's one of her favorite quotes, and I stole it from her. I tell her all the time, I love that. I didn't choose to be bald. Bald thought I was beautiful enough to be chosen. I got several T-shirts I wear. Every time I go out, I got that T-shirt on, and that's another conversation piece. I love that. I love that. It's so beautiful, you know. But, guys, I've just anything I can do to get people to accept who you are, whether you're bald, whether you you know, you're short, fat, it doesn't matter. Love you, the person that you are, because God made you this way for a reason.
Yeah,
and it's a blessing to be what you are and embrace who you are, regardless with if you have hair or not.
Indeed. And here you say, it's our bodies are not an apology. Our bodies are not a setback. And then she threw a little Willy Jolly in there, but a set up for a comeback or step forth. So come out. I love it. I love it. I love it. And another thing, Stacy, don't tell any more lies, okay? You keep saying, I am not a poet by any means.
That's not you guys. I'm a little old country girl. It's fine.
Girl, don't undermine.
It doesn't matter. As long as the message is received, you know, I we get better with time. I'm just nervous. I'm sorry. This is my first time being on a scale with Sandra, especially Sandra. I'm like, she's like, to me, I call her the first lady of alopecia. That's who we refer you to in our meetings. You're the first lady of alopecia.
That's how we're talking about you, you're
our first lady.
Oh, gosh, I love it. Well, you know, we're all first, okay? And we have Miss Angela in the chat room, and she says, tears, that was beautiful.
Oh.
Awesome. I wanted to comment, and we're going to have Ms. Sonia to come and share something with us again. But when I asked the question about people's reference, because I've actually am going still back and forth between the whole issue of bald, you know, and I'm getting the concept, bald is beautiful. But for some reason for me, bald is something that happened to me. Shaved is something I chose to do. It's like I took my power back. So I chose to shave my head rather than just go bald. So I'm still working on that issue. So right now, my preference is wearing the shaved look. I'm shaved. It's something that I re-empowered myself to do. But when you were talking about the men, it's funny. The first week that I went out, I actually went to go hear Sandra Taylor speak. It come through, you know, about a depression, and for a whole week did nothing but read, eat, and sleep. So I read all three of her books, and I said, you know what, I need to be in the presence. I mean, I wish I had sister friends like this. The next day I got an email that she was coming to Oakland. I'm in the San Francisco Bay Area. And so I went to go see her, and I told her, I said, God sent you here this day, okay? But as we were going into the auditorium, there was a gentleman. We sort of almost bumped into one another. But I was looking at him. He was looking at me. And so finally I looked. I said, do I look familiar to you? Is that why you're looking at me? Because you look familiar to me. He said, No, I just always look whenever I see a beautiful woman, and I almost hit the floor. That was the first week that I had gone out with my head uncovered. And within 1 week, I got 2 compliments from men asking for my phone number. Now, I am single, in my 50s, never been married. And I said, you know what? You mean all these years I've been buying hair, putting on the hair, trying to put hair, and this is all I have to do?
That was it.
So when you get the feedback, and I know that, you know, I sort of quote-unquote came out on Facebook, and it actually meant a lot for everybody's responses, but especially the men, you know, who were like, you know, family and brothers to me, you know, to get their compliments. That was really what gave me the confidence. But I also have this, I won't say fear, concern. You know, I don't want to be the object of someone's fetish.
Absolutely.
You know, I'm really cautious when people, you know, come and they're staring. It's like, okay, what's up with you? Mm-hmm. But right. we're gonna work through all of that. So, but I am just so grateful to be in this space, and I thank each of you for providing a space for me to be able to embrace this and to grow and go with it. And like I said, I am just as shocked at the pace in which this has happened for me as anyone. So I'm just ready to roll with it. So,
this is Stacey. I have a question. Would anyone be able to go, after this is recorded or after the show is over, would anyone be able to go back and listen to it after?
Yes. Well, you can go right back to the site, but I am going to have it posted on my website, and I will actually go through and place it on each of your Facebook pages.
Perfect, because the reason why I'm asking, I had a young lady that's in our group, one of our newest members. As a matter of fact, they're down where we are having a little beautification relaxation weekend, and I'm not with them right now, but I'm going to join them in a minute. But that's one lady that I'm having a hard time trying to really get her confidence back, and she's a cancer survivor. Okay, first of all, she's a cancer survivor, but you know, during the midst of her having cancer, you know, she lost her hair during the chemo, what have you, and her husband, who was she had really beautiful hair, okay, long gorgeous hair, but you know, when she went to cancer, she lost it. Now, her husband hated women, detest women that have weaves and stuff like that. So he used to talk about them, dog them out all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, this young lady, and she lost her hair. And during that process of her losing her hair, you know, he left her, you know, it irks me when I think about it, but he left her during the time she needed him the most. Okay. And although she had to deal with that, you know, trying to survive and live, you know, but she was able to beat cancer. And then a few years or so much later, her hair still thin. She ended up developing alopecia talis. I think that's when no hair at all. She still have eyebrows and eyelashes. Okay, so that she dealt with losing her husband because he left her during the time, you know, she was trying to doing cancer, and now she's been 3 years since the divorce, and she's just scared. Super scared to date because she's like, no one will want me, and her husband got her and got her thinking that no man would want her having first of all being bald, and secondly wearing weaves and a wig because she was with such a superficial man, and I'm trying to break up from her, and I'm like, she really needs to hear this, the latest. I mean, yeah, we've been talking, but to maybe if she hears this from someone on high, I say, and I'm giving you guys props because to me you're on a higher platform. If she can hear this coming from you, Sandra, and you, Sonia, and you, Evelyn, I'm hoping this will push her out. But she's just like literally, she's afraid. She hasn't been on a date, even looked at a man because she's afraid that they're going to reject her. And I'm really trying to work on her. So you know, really, really trying to get her to love herself, because I'm like, she's blaming herself, I believe. You know, I'm not a psychologist by no means, but I just want to get her to love herself again. I'm working really hard. She's only been a member now for a little bit over a month, but I'm really working on her. I'm praying for a breakthrough for her, guys. So please pray with me, you know, to help her find her breakthrough.
Indeed. Indeed.
Indeed. Please tell her to visit The Body Is Not an Apology. If she's on Facebook, it's The Body Is Not an Apology. She can check out the website, thebodyisnotanapology.com. We're on Twitter at Radical Body Love. You can find us all over the place. And really, it's about a movement focused on radical self-love. It's about waking up every day and deciding that we are more than enough, and that the more that we believe that we are enough, the more the world will keep showing us that. And so the reason, you know, that fear of rejection is only creating rejection. And if she steps into who she is, the world is going to embrace her in that space. And so it really starts and ends with her. So absolutely, send her our way. We love being in community with folks on the journey towards radical self-love.
Yes. Love it. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And the other thing is for you as being, you know, her support, her mentor, her coach, is to also be patient with the process, because a lot of times when we reach a certain point, we're in a hurry for someone to get it. And it's important to realize it's because their pain reminds us of our own pain, and we don't want anyone to have to go through that. But allow her to go through that process and just be there for her, because that's how the healing takes place. We don't run from the pain. We go through it. And so at a place where she can recognize, the, you know, as Yella Vincent said, the value in the valley. So be patient with her. And you said she's only been there for a month. She's done good to get there and to stay there. So give her some time, you know, and realize how much time it took for most of us. I've heard 15 years. I've heard a few more years. You know, try, you know, 30 years. So, yes, and that's what we will do and can do for one another.
Right.
Miss Sonia, give us some more words of inspiration and motivation and speaking from the heart.
Gotcha, gladly. One of the things that I just keep hearing as a theme in this conversation, and then I know I'm saying all of the time, is that really we are creating the world that we live in every single moment. And we're creating it with our energy and our beliefs and our language around ourselves, right? And so I really loved what you were saying is about this idea of I chose to shave my head rather than I went bald, right? Because one is about choice and autonomy. And when we speak choice and power into our lives, then we create more opportunity for choice and power in our lives. And so this poem is sort of a short poem, but it really is about seizing that opportunity to create the world that we live in, to create the truth of our beautifulness and our gorgeousness and our divinity every single day when we open our mouths. If we speak that over our lives, then that is what we will see manifested in our world. And if we're speaking depression and misery and unhappiness and unattractiveness over our life, then we'll see that in our world. And so really, it's, at the end of the day, it's about choice. And this piece is called Speak It. I can't say that I don't see your tears, feel your pain. I can't promise that it will never rain, because the truth is, I don't know. But I do know that rain makes things grow, so maybe this is growing season. And I don't have any reason why the sun don't seem to shine on your side of the block. All I know is that a rock can't speak its peace. And sometimes you have to open your mouth and release the authority that is in you. But you never will if you refuse to see that this is about the energy we exude on this earth. So you can keep having contractions and never giving birth, and you'll only get the ache. You can keep holding love between clenched teeth, and you'll only get heartbreak. You can keep saying you're the victim because it's easier to sail. You can keep claiming your last, and you will always be the tail. You can keep catching hell. But if you choose to hold it, baby, who's the fool? And if someone is digging your grave, why would you allow yourself to be the tool? Because at some point, it is all about choice. See, in the beginning was the word, and the word was not darkness. It was light. It was not grounded. It was flight. It was not run. It was fight.
And all it took was the art of seeing, the action of saying it into being. See, it's about happening to life, not letting life happen to you. It's about screaming to this planet, there ain't nothing I can't do, so I claim it. This outlandish thing called impossible, I choose to rename it a fallacy because it's a lie. So yes, love, sit down and cry. Let it dampen your feet like flowers to the soil. Rage if you must until you come to a boil. Then cook something. When fear is staring down at you, you stare back at it and slap it out your way. And promise yourself, today is the last of the can'ts and the won'ts. Today is the last of the don't nobody care about me, because you care about you. And what could be greater than that? Your power is mightier than this entire universe, but only if you choose to seek it. So do you want it? Whatever it is, do you really want it? Because if you do, first believe it, then speak it. Thank you.
Where's the organ?
Oh, my God.
Whoa.
Oh,
that's
my
amazing.
God, that's fantastic.
Yeah. On yourthebomb.com.
Speak.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you so much. I have a feeling this is probably going to be one of those archive shows that's going to go viral. Okay. And I'm just glad that I have the key to it. Wonderful.
Yes.
Believe it or not,
I have feels on my arms. You don't understand. That just appeals on me. Oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
ooh.
And that's what I felt when I first heard her.
Mm-hmm.
So, and that is, to me, an indication of the spirit within connecting.
Yes.
And as my, you know, thing is connecting hearts. So I thank you so very much. I know each of you have products that you've mentioned, and I've asked if either of you would be willing to donate an item. I know that I Am Not an Apology has T-shirts for sale. I know that Ms. Sandra has the book, My Crown and Glory, and Ms. Stacy has the 2013 Alopecia Beauties calendar. So I was going to try to do a little contest, but my brain wouldn't go that far because I've been battling with this crazy computer. But I would like to gift our one person from Alopecia World that I see in our chat room, Miss Angela Brown, I would like to gift her with one of your products. She has been a sweetheart. She was one of my first friends on Alopecia World.
Yes, she's a great
Pardon me?
I just say, yeah, I'm aware of her. She's a very, 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 very beautiful person, and she's a great a follower. So I would love to give her one of our calendars.
Wonderful. So, Ms. Angela, know that we're thinking about you. She's listening in from work today. And she, like I said, she was one of my first friends on Alopecia World. And who is the founder? Is it Cheryl? What is Cheryl's last name? Who's the founder of one of the co-founders of Alopecia World?
It's Cheryl. Oh, my God, if you hadn't asked me, I would have knew. Her name is Cheryl, but I can't remember her last name.
Yeah, so we want to give a shout-out to her because if it had not been for her, I would not have met you, Stacy, because there are subgroups on Alopecia World, and I went to, I think I joined like four different groups, and yours is the most active that I've actually met more people. We want to give a shout out to Miss Brenda, Miss Moonbeam, Miss Moonflower, and I can't even think, Miss Jackie. There are two Jackies, so we just want to say that even though, you know, you're not there with us in this conversation, we know you're with us in spirit, and we look forward to, I have a feeling that this is just the beginning of something great and awesome. And I'm trying to get back to the switchboard to see if there are other people who wish to have something to say, and my computer is frozen. But I know that there are other callers in the studio, so when my computer decides to come back up, I will try to bring someone else in. So do we have any other thoughts, words? Oh, give us your email addresses or your Facebooks or websites that you wish our listeners to find you.
Okay. Well, my name is Stacy, and Sisters Living with Alopecia does have a Facebook page. It's Sisters S-I-T-E-R-S Living L-I-V-I-N-G with Alopecia, and that's on Facebook. And we also have a website, Sisters Living with Alopecia website. And the members are allowed to call every last Saturday of each month from 5 o'clock to 5:45. We have a teleconference, which that's just started. So because we have a lot of members are you know, all over, you know, United States that don't have a support group. And, of course, we've met up mostly by way of either my website or Alopecia World. That's how we kind of connected. So now we're going to actually put, you know, we're going to add a teleconference number, which is on my website, and they can call in. And I wanted to be, and I'm going to give them the PIN number only when they contact me, because I want to make sure that they're definitely members. And I didn't want to just call it on trying to hackle us or anything like that. So I won't give them the PIN number unless I know that they're definitely a member. And then when we get together, I'm sorry.
I just have to make sure that it's a safe space for the women.
Exactly, exactly. So, and that's what I'm working on right now. So if you could just go, if they go on my website, they can get that information.
Okay.
Okay, well, this is Sandra, and you can definitely reach me, get more information about what I do. I'm a motivational speaker as well as I'm a singer, and I go out and, like I said, my message is really about self-esteem, so it's not just about hair. It's just about empowerment altogether. And my website is sandradubose, that's DUBOSE.com, where you can get more information there. Of course, I'm on Twitter, at Sandra DuBose, my Facebook page. Please go and like it, and I always update it with inspirational quotes and things of that nature. And I'm always checking. I'm a Facebook head, so if you write me, I'll write you back. If you like me, I'll like you back. And that's Sandra DuBose right on Facebook. And also the book, if you're interested, is My Crown and Glory. It's not about the hair, and that's available on Amazon.com currently as well as an e-book. And I will be, this book is really stirring up some great conversation for women, a healing dialogue that really needs to take place. If you go to my website, if you join my email list, I'll be sending out information. I'm going to be holding a free teleconference seminar throughout the month of October, and every week we're going to be calling in. I'll send you the call-in information, and we're going to be talking and opening up this conversation around healing the inner child and forgiveness and all of these cleansing, healing dialogues that really need to happen and talking it up. And for those people that really need more help, I also am offering now personal coaching to really help you with that transformation and getting from point A to point B, you know, giving you that concentrated coaching that you might need. Maybe you don't have an inner circle like the women on this line that are empowered and inspired. Maybe you're surrounded by people that are fearful and, you know, just project that fear on you and keep you stuck. But there's something inside of you that's letting you know it's time for you to move forward. And sometimes we just need a little push. We just need a little encouragement and coaching and inspiration from someone who's been there, done that, and got the T-shirt like Sonya made. So I want to make that I want to make that service available, you know, so because it's really, like everyone said, it's that movement. This is our time. You know, it's the last quarter of the year. So if there are some New Year's resolutions that you did not complete yet, we've still got time, so it's time to get it in. So please reach out, sagethebows.com.
This is Sonya, and you can find me. I'm a performance poet, activist, author, and the founder of the international movement, The Body is Not an Apology, focused on radical self-love and body empowerment. We really believe that we are a movement for everybody and everybody, and all of the different glorious ways that we all show up on this planet. You can find out more about my work as a performance poet at my website, Sonya, S-O-N-Y-A, dash Renee, R-E-N-E-E.com. You can also find me on Facebook at Sonya Renee, or you can find me on Twitter at Sonya Renee Poet, or if you just put in Sonya Renee Poet in Google, you'll find 10 billion ways to find me. And if you want to know more about The Body is Not an Apology, and I encourage you, we need every voice that we can find from every background that we can find, as part of this movement. We believe that radical self-love is the foundation on which radical human love and compassion is built, in the way that we create a world that is free of oppression and joy is that we first radically love ourselves, which gives us the capability to radically love others. And so you can find The Body Is Not an Apology at our website, thebodyisnotanapology.com. Our Facebook community is thriving and growing every single day, and you can find us at The Body Is Not an Apology on Facebook. On Twitter, we are Radical Body Love, and we are The Body Is Not an Apology on Tumblr. If you're interested in any of those things, we have tons of different projects under The Body Is Not an Apology. Bad Picture Monday, we hope you'll participate in. And then we also have The Ruckus Project, Radically Unapologetic Healing Challenge for Us, which is a 30-day personal and community healing challenge to free us of pain, shame, trauma, and fear in our lives. And I do personal coaching around that, and there's just bazillions of ways to be involved. Mostly we just hope that you will take on the commitment to work today to radically love yourself.
Nice. Beautiful, beautiful. And I guess I should make note of where you can find me. I'm wearing so many different hats. I'm never sure which one to put out, so I'm centering myself. But I guess you can first off with talktomisse.com. That's my website for me as a therapist, a coach, a speaker, and author, and all the other things I do. And as I stated, you know, most of my work has pretty much been geared toward, in general, self-esteem, but more specifically issues related to foster care and adoption, having been a social worker, a foster parent, an adoptive parent, and really having a heart for the young people who have endured the many challenges of having gone through the system and many now being adults and still dealing with the impact of that. So this program has pretty much been the platform for giving voice to current, former, and transitioning foster youth, as well as my public access television program, Visions for a Child's Heart. However, I think right now, Heart Talk with Ms. E is going to probably broaden to deal with, because this does not exclude anyone, because I also believe that there are probably issues within the foster care community and dealing with this. It's just that it's overshadowed by the general aspect of it. And I just also want to add that one of the decisions I needed to make a few weeks ago was going to the funeral of a family member, whether I should cover my head or go, you know, bare, as many of the family members that never see me. But at the quiet hour, I found out that the child of one of my relatives, who's only 11 or 12 years of age, herself has alopecia, and I felt that it was my responsibility and my duty to show up as myself to let this young lady know that there's beauty in every aspect. So, like I said, this is a place of servitude for me. So I believe just in as much as the few people that I've met in this short time, there are probably children in the foster care system who have this as an addition aspect of their life to deal with. So I am grateful for that. So my other website is www.forachildsheart.org, and there you will find, you know, pretty much everything that I've done, including the books I've written, the DVDs I've done, the CDs I've done, the interviews around that issue. And we have a young lady in the chat room, Ms. Sundays, who says, and we love you, Ms. E. She herself is a former foster youth and was actually one of my first guests. I started this program 2 years ago. And her comment is to, hey, y'all, I think you're all beautiful and powerful. Wow, is what she says. So thank you, Sunday. And Stacy, Angela says, thank you to everyone. I'm so honored. She says, Stacy, I'm one of your calendar winners.
I just thought about that, but
she's
already
going to give a calendar anyway.
Anyway.
So, okay. Courage, maybe that she can get a book or a T-shirt.
I have a T-shirt that I want to give her. Actually, I thought about that. I was going to actually inbox her when I got off the phone. I was going to inbox and tell her I'm going to send her a T-shirt as well.
Wonderful. Thank you. See, I'm so giving. I mean, trying not to give away other people's stuff, but people know that there's joy in giving. So thank you.
Okay.
Thank you so much. And I will be placing my order for both very, very soon. And I think on Twitter, I'm the Tweetheart Lady. Tweetheart. Yeah, Tweetheart Lady. So that's me on Twitter. I'm not there much, but when I do my social networking, I always add my Twitter account onto that. So I am very excited. And, of course, on Facebook, you can find me at Miss Evelyn, the Heart Lady Speaks, and For Child's Heart, and everything else that's connected to that. So, again, I just want to say thank you so very much. I still am unable to get back to the switchboard. So for all of our callers who are listening in and haven't had an opportunity to speak, I apologize, but I believe sometimes things happen for whatever reason. But we look forward to your comments that we will post and hope that you will join us in future celebrations endeavors. One of the things that we did not cover here, each of you spoke about the type of alopecia you have, and I didn't really go into the descriptions of the different types because my thing is, you know, regardless of what you call it, what it is, or where it came from, it's how to cope. You know, my thing is the matters of the heart. But I know that there is some question about the origins of it, the causes, which can be multiple. And there's the total alopecia, as they said, totalis, the universal, the areata. I know that Sonia mentioned the traction. So perhaps that will come up in some of the other forums that we will be referring you to and perhaps hosting ourselves. But the bottom line, just remember who we are and that we showed up here in this world for not only one purpose, but many purposes, and our goal is to help us to unfold them, to embrace them, and to walk into them. Walk into them, walk in them. ladies, being a music person is really eating me that I cannot get a song to play, but we're just going to dance to our own music and to the beat of our own drummer.
We could hear Sandra sing a little song. Gosh, she has a beautiful voice.
Yes, I'll do it. Yes, I'll do it. Little girl with a question curl. Age 8, I got a Jerry curl. 13, and I got a relaxer. I wasn't lost off so much laughter. 15, when it all broke off. 18, when I went all natural. February 2002, I went on and did what I had to do. 'Cause it was time to change my life. To become the woman that I am inside. 97 dreadlocks all gone. I looked in the mirror for the first time and saw that, hey, I am not my hair. I am not the skin. I am not your expectations, no. I am not my hair. I am not the skin. I am the soul that lives within.
Mm. Yeah.
I gotta get her to come out.
She knows
like, what did he say?
Gorgeous.
Thank you, Stacy, for putting it out there. See, now we know why India wouldn't sing. It wasn't her time to sing today.
We need to hear her answer, yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm loving it. Well, thank you so much. And in probably about 20 to 30 minutes, you will be able to upload and listen to this. And for all of those who are listening through the archives and the recordings, please leave your comments to let us know what you've gotten out of this and maybe perhaps where you would like to see us come together again. So everyone, have a God-blessed day. Thank you. And I'm so graciously appreciative of you.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks so much for having us.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye, ladies. I hope to meet you, too. Like, really, so all three of you, I hope to meet you. At one point in my life, I know I'm going to see you guys. So thank you.
Definitely.
You guys are my heroes. I'm looking up to you. You're definitely someone I'm looking up to. So thanks.
All right.
Thank you. It was a pleasure.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.